If you're taking a calcium supplement, it's probably not doing what you think it is. That's because you still lose bone density with traditional calcium supplements. That's where calcium from algae comes in. AlgaeCal Plus doesn't just stop bone loss. It's the only supplement ever shown to increase bone density in clinical studies. That's right. AlgaeCal Plus increases bone density, even if you're in your 80s. That's because your bones need more than just calcium and vitamin D to stay strong. There are actually 13 minerals and 3 vitamins needed to build healthy new bone, and AlgaeCal Plus contains all of them, and it's proudly made in the USA. Your calcium doesn't increase bone density. AlgaeCal Plus does. Talk to one of our bone health consultants today and see how AlgaeCal Plus can start increasing your bone density. Call now.
800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. 800-437-8217. That's 800-437-8217.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Pompito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC TV and Twitch TV, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios. Straight up, often imitated, we are never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of doing our own thing. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, as I said, but never duplicated. We are just moments away, of course, from the World Heavyweight Championship. Tyson Fury, the undefeated lad, of course, the Gypsy King. That one draw to Deontay Wilder, of course, they screwed him there. But the bottom line is, he's unbeaten. The only blemish on his record is that draw. But the bottom line is, he came back and beaten Wilder twice. Of course, he's defending the heavyweight championship against the number one WBC contender, Dillian White. Dillian White's been beaten once, I believe, knocked out by Alexander Povetkin. He came back and stopped Povetkin, but people thought Povetkin had COVID when he got stopped. Bottom line is, we'll see what Dillian White brings to the dance. Of course, that's the heavyweight championship of the world going down, I believe, on ESPN pay-per-view. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Want to drop us a text, you can. The studio text line, 415-275-1613. Our studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Straight up, we have to look at it as maybe the last fight of Tyson Fury's career. At least that's what he's talking about. I'm retiring after this. Some multi-billionaire convinced me to retire. I don't need the money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Bottom line is, I think he's full of spit. We'll see with Socrates Palmer. Of course, boxing PhD has to say after the break. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC TV, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studio.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now.
You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Let's say your business does $10,000 to $15,000 or more monthly revenue. There are times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Well, if you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Funding Line. We don't play by bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you. Good credit or bad credit, even if your business was affected by the recent pandemic. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000 in one day. That's $500,000 in one day. Use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money, call now to learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as one day. 800-905-7186. 800-905-7186. 800-905-7186. That's 800-905-7186.
There's a certain toughness inside of Tyson Fury. Don't ever, ever, ever miss me, Tyson. Everyone says he's awkward, he's just that. But I know him personally. He's lived with me in my home, too. And he's stayed with me. And I've trained Latimer. I've had them all together. He is maybe the toughest. Once he settles down on a solid training program, whichever way else, and really gets into it, it's just boxing, with his natural talent and his engaging personality and his physical size, he's going to be a big, big, big factor in boxing. I've said that after Latimer, he's going to be the next dominant heavyweight. But there's one kid in America that no one speaks of, and that's Deontay Wilder. He was on the Olympic team. He lost it, the big kid. And I've had the fortune of, he's came and trained with me before, too. And he's a big kid. He's bigger than Latimer, too. But he's got good speed and power. And I think best talent is still going to be Tyson and Deontay Wilder.
Of course, that is the deceased Goldfather, my mentor, Emmanuel Stewart, of course, of the Kronk Gym, talking about the current heavyweight champion of the world, the undefeated lad with that one draw, of course, on his record. I'm talking about Tyson Fury, 30 and zip, taking on Dillian White. He's a minus 600 favorite as far as the betting parlors in the UK are concerned. Dillian White is a plus 450 underdog. For that, we go to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer, boxing's true PhD. And how are you on this lovely day, sir?
I'm doing excellent, P. Thank you for having me on, as always.
Okay, let's talk. Let's go to last week before we get to the heavyweight championship. Earl Spence, of course, basically doing what we thought he would do against Uri Urgas because of the fact that there's a difference in skill level there. I mean, the Cuban's got it, but he doesn't have that skill level. He's not up there in the tens. I think he's about the sevens or the eights as far as skills are concerned. Am I wrong by putting it that way?
I don't think it's necessarily physical skill. I think it's that inner hunger, you know. It's that wanting to grab the brass ring. And, you know, Ugas has probably accomplished a lot in his life. I mean, former Olympian, great amateur background, and a very good pro. And he had the monumental win against Manny Pacquiao. But there's always something, like when he fought Sean Porter, mm-hmm. he had that fight, you know, that he could have really put his stamp on it and taken that decision, even though some people think that he got jobbed anyway, but he came up short. Last week, he had an opportunity. You know, he had moments in the fight, but he had a monster opportunity when he knocked the mouthpiece out of Errol Spence's mouth. And we've said this over and over. When you're the opponent, you know that the cards are stacked against you, bro. You have to go out and take it. He had a moment. that maybe I'm not saying the fight is ends in a different way, but he could have done some damage to Errol Spence. He had about 5 seconds that he wasted that he could have jumped on him. I'm pretty sure the way Errol Spence reacted after he got the mouthpiece knocked out of him, he would have probably taken an eight count if Ugas at best just jumps on him, you know? But he let that slip through his fingers. And eventually the class of Errol Spence showed and the natural strength. I mean, you really saw Errol Spence impose his physicality on him and disfigure Ugas, who may never recover from that type of eye injury.
No, but you give him props. He was a brave lad, no doubt about that. And I hope he made a few bucks because, you know, he had a stellar amateur career. Of course, he beat Terrence Crawford as an amateur. And now that sets up the Crawford-Spence fight, allegedly. But let's go back to Spence's performance for a second. He's a guy that struggles to make 147 pounds. I don't care what anybody says. I look at him a week before, 10 days before. You can see that he's coming down in weight maybe from 165 pounds. Bottom line is he is a big, big welterweight. Terrence Crawford is not a big, big welterweight. Is the size differential going to come into play here, or is Terrence Crawford a big – is Terrence Crawford big enough?
I think he's big enough. The factor in – if you're asking me if eventually the Errol Spence natural weight will be a factor in the fight, it could be. You know, it very well could be. Like you said, he's a guy that's – that probably walks around at 165, 170.
Or more.
You know? Yeah, you know, he and you see, you could tell in his back. And Terrence Crawford is someone who has grown into the welterweight division. You know, he came up from lightweight and really just ascended naturally. You know, and he, at this point, he is a full-fledged welterweight. The one factor, though, Terrence Crawford is a former amateur wrestler. And there is no other athlete stronger than pound for pound than a wrestler, than a Greco-Roman wrestler. And you see that in Terrence Crawford's fights. He's physically strong. You know, you've heard the term skinny fat. He's skinny strong. You know, he's under, you know, and he's got that X factor in him that Ugas does not have. He's a guy that has shown that he's able to handle adversity in the ring, and he adjusts better than just about any other fighter. Maybe outside of Lomachenko, that you can see him just get stronger as the fight goes. Well, and that's something that I really think is going to play in Terrence Crawford's favor. And if they fought tomorrow, I'm picking Terrence Crawford.
Well, this is not a slim and none fight. I mean, basically, I thought that when I said Ugas was slim, he had two chances, slim and none, and slim had just left town. I think the writing was sort of on the wall. I mean, he beat a 41-year-old Manny Pacquiao, and that's not a whole lot to brag about. But he put himself in a position to make some money, more power to him and his team. I mean, I wish him the very best. Now, we look at the fact that Terrence Crawford is a mean dude. Terrence Crawford, you forgot to bring that into the equation.
Yes.
He's
You're
a stone
right.
cold. He is not a nice guy. I mean, he's just not. I mean, not all. Put it this way. Ugas, the other night, when he pulled that, like, I'm sorry I hit you type of crap. I mean, that's basically what he did.
Yeah.
He should have been arrested for impersonating a professional fighter at that point in time. What was he going to do? Go over there and I'm surprised he didn't reach down and grab the mouthpiece for him and clean it off for him and give it to Spence himself.
He almost apologized for what he did. And then and the referee, Lawrence Cole.
Larry.
I mean, Larry Lawrence. Hey, man.
Don't say Larry. He'll go. Hey, he'll jump through.
He's not
licking you. He will come looking for us if we called him. If we called him Larry Cole, he would come looking for us. Did I just call him Larry Cole? Lawrence Cole. Laurence. Don't spell it Law, and don't call him Larry. He gets pissed.
Whenever there's something crazy that happens in Texas, you better believe he's in the middle of it. You know, he is. I mean. Forget it. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, I'm sure a lot of bad stuff has been said about Lawrence Cole, but you can tell there was some home cooking in that round.
Okay. John Shirley out of Sacramento, California, my amateur guy. I mean, me and him were together in the amateurs. He's sort of trying to, I think he's making his move as far as Texas is concerned, as far as the big fights are concerned. But he's got Lawrence Cole, the fact that Lawrence Cole's father, Dickie Cole, was head of the Athletic Commission for like 20 years. He's a boxing icon. I think he's still living. The bottom line is that, you know, Dickie Cole still wields a lot of weight.
Apparently so, man, because his kid's always in the middle of a big fight. And, you know, he's a competent referee, but he's always in the middle of some controversial crap, man. And not to say, I don't want to take credit from, you know, away from Spence. He clearly was the better fighter, but that round was fishy. Another thing about Crawford, like you said, yes, he's got a killer instinct. He's not a nice guy inside that ring, and you need that. And I hearken back to guys like Bazooka Gomez, Miguel Cotto, Roberto Duran. Those guys had that X factor, you know, and you need that. And not to say that afterwards, I'm pretty sure they'll both share a steak dinner together. You know, I think they generally do like each other, Spence and Crawford. But inside the ring, it's going to be business. And Spence also has that mean streak in him. So it's a fascinating fight. It's a 50-50. Another thing we're talking about, are they going to be able, the negotiator is going to be able to make both sides happy? You know, people are saying that Terrence Crawford should probably humble himself, take less.
Why?
It's a rumor that these pay-per-view numbers that have not yet been revealed didn't do so hot. You know, I heard that it did less than 150,000 buys.
Well, you know, 150,000 buys are what, $70 a pop? That's still not a bad, you know, payday for anybody. They're still making money. I mean, it's not like they're going off and declaring bankruptcy.
Right. But I'm saying is that if they're going to use the leverage that Errol Spence is, air quotes, a pay-per-view star or a pay-per-view draw, that's not really a pay-per-view draw number. You know, like Terrence Crawford brings his own star, and if anything, money-wise, it should be a 50-50 split. And let the powers that be, you know, have common sense to make this fight happen, and that we don't get Pacquiao Mayweather, you know, 2.0, that they wind up fighting when they both pass their prime. It's how I feel.
The pay-per-view grossed about $10.5 million with 150,000 homes at $70 a pop. You split that with the cable company. Usually the cable company takes half, the promoter gets half, so he's got $5.2 million there. That's enough money to spread around those guys. I mean, we're not talking about Spence making 10, 15 million bucks. He's not that elite yet. He's got to prove his eliteness. Here, him and Crawford will prove who's elite. In other words, whoever wins that fight steps off and makes the big bucks. Right now, I think they should be fighting just to fight each other.
You're right. I think they both need each other. Absolutely. And the winner of that fight is the only guy that could probably say, I'm just as good on the pound for pound list as Canelo Alvarez, who, outside of, you know, being the money man in all of boxing, he's still the best pound for pound fighter in most people's eyes.
And he's the best draw. I mean, let's be honest, Canelo draws.
It's not even close.
I mean, his numbers compared to everybody else's, they're like, yikes.
It's not even close, especially here on this side of the world. I mean, now in Europe, you know, they draw monster crowds, you know, but mm-hmm. I think that's just because they're insane in love with the sport of boxing, you know. But here in the U.S., no one draws like Canelo.
Marcus of Queensbury, baby. That's where it all started. Of course, that's where they glove people up for the very first time towards the end of the 19th century there, of course, in England. The Marcus of Queensbury came up with the idea of competitive boxing with gloves. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live World. Remember, the gloves weren't there to protect the fighters. They were there to protect the hands. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, yep. WBC TV.
Here's a great way to save money on your prescription medications. If you take Viagra or Cialis, we can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men and women to improve their sexual performance. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get nearly 100. There's no need to pay expensive prices for Viagra or Cialis. Call now with your prescription and pay as little as $2 a pill. We offer 24/7 service and always free delivery in confidential packaging. Change your life for the better and have fun. Call Pharmacy Shop 24/7 to get generic versions of Viagra or Cialis for as little as $2 a pill, plus free discreet shipping.
800-709-4409. 800-709-4409. 800-709-4409. That's 800-709-4409.
Are you 60 plus and love to travel? Introducing the Senior Travel Discount Network, brought to you by Low Cost Airlines. Call us anytime, day or night, and save up to 75% on your airline and hotel reservations. We can help you save a ton of money to fly almost anywhere. We have inside discounts on over 500 airlines and 500,000 hotels worldwide. And when you call and mention the discount code 60 plus, we'll give you an extra free night with your qualified air and hotel reservation. Now you can get the best prices on air and hotel reservations with your phone. We make it easy and fast for you to save money and book a trip. Remember, call the Senior Travel Discount Network. Mention the discount code 60PLUS for your free hotel night with your qualified reservation. Call now.
800-493-6118. 800-493-6118. 800-493-6118. That's 800-493-6118.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
The Horns of the Mighty Tower of Power. Check them out. They are legends in the music business. TowerofPower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking the world of boxing. We talk MMA on occasion. Straight up, we're talking boxing. Of course, the World Heavyweight Championship on the line in just a short amount of time. Of course, Tyson Fury undefeated with that draw. Of course, taking withdrawal with Deontay Wilder. Taking on Dillian White. Dillian White said to be an opponent here, of course, a minus 450. Take that back, a minus 600 underdog as far as you're betting on Tyson Fury's current. It's a plus 450 you want to bet on Dillian White. Straight up, Dillian White is a live underdog in some people's mind. I think these people are delusional. I think he has two chances, much like Ugas last week, slim and none, and Slim just left town except for, oh, let me get to this. Somebody sent me a text. They thought Ugas was part of a fix. They thought that that was a fix, that when you hit a guy that hard and you knock him into another time zone and you stand there and look at him, that something's wrong. They thought the Cuban was in on a take or something like that.
Hey, you know what? He's not – whoever sent you that that message, is he's not in the minority. There was a lot of people that saw that and just were scratching their head. It's like, you know, it's like in football – someone fumbled, you know, the team is driving and they fumble at the goal line and you just watch the ball. Yeah. You know, Ugas dropped the ball, man. He had, like I said, I'm not saying that, you know, maybe Spence recovers, you know, because, you know, he was winning the fight anyway, you know, but you know what? Anything can happen.
But you know, you're the opponent.
He could have busted his jaw. Exactly.
Yeah, you're the opponent. You've been drawn on paper to lose. The matchmaker thinks you're going to lose. The odds maker think you're going to lose. The promotion will watch you in to lose. The whole nine yards. You're supposed to lose. You get this one chance, and you don't take advantage of it. You know, it doesn't look good. I mean, Ugas can look back on the fact he was brave. He took a nice beating, this and that. I mean, a terrific beating, and he was brave and that kind of good stuff. But at the end of the day, he had an opportunity there to step it up to another class, and he missed it.
1,000%, man. He fumbled. You know, he fumbled. You know, he had a shot. I mean, you talk about a free shot with a guy without a mouthpiece.
Man, I kick
a guy. You could break a guy's jaw. Oh, yeah. Yo, you could break a guy's jaw. You could bust an eardrum. But, you know, that's it. You know, we're all talking hypotheticals. You know, at the end of the day, Ugas is what he is. A very good fighter, not a great fighter.
The only time I showed any mercy in a boxing ring was I got myself a win. I cut this guy. I was done. I was like an asthmatic. I wasn't supposed to fight in this fight. And we showed up at the event, and they said, we need somebody to fight in the main event. I say, oh, come on. Just be a two-minute fight. And the guy was 6'3". But the bottom line was I was tired after the first round, Sock. I went out there in the second round. I cut him under the eye. I told the referee, he's cut. And the ref jumped in and panicked and stopped the fight. But had he not stopped the fight, I'd have got licked that day.
A 6'3"? And you fought at what, 132?
139.
139. That's,
yeah, here's what's up. This is one of these arena things where you show up at the fairgrounds. It was the Alameda County Fairgrounds. And the weigh-ins are over. Okay, and I'm saying, well, what did the guy weigh? He's about 53. I go, man, that's a whole lot of weight. This and that. Don't worry about it. Pete, he's a bum. He's from the Marine Corps down there in Fort whatever for what it was. Bottom line is, he wasn't a bum. And the bottom line is, if he didn't get cut, I would have lost that day. But straight up, you get a chance to win a fight, and you have to take advantage of that one chance. I wasn't going to win that fight. I was pooping out. I was going to – I look like an asthmatic. So I took that one opportunity I saw it, and I took it to victory. And Uga should have took that shot. He should have went over there. He should have committed domestic violence on Errol Spence at that point in time instead of standing there and going, hey, let me apologize for hurting him. This is what it looked like. It almost looked like an apology.
Bro, I was yelling at my TV. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I mean, he had this shot, and he just blew the layup, man. You know, but
a dunk.
Yeah, he did. But you know what? Onward and upward. You know, we have a much anticipated fight that needs to happen, hopefully before the end of the year, between Crawford and Spence. A 50-50 fight, and it has to happen. I don't want that fight to happen 2 years from now. You know, please. I do not want to hear a press conference that Errol Spence is defending against Mr. Thurman or somebody like that.
I'm wondering why is Oscar Valdez? He doesn't want to do any interviews. I tried this week to get him on the air. In fact, I tried 4 or 5 weeks to get him on the air. He didn't want to do it. And we're friendly territory for him, so I don't know why you want to go here. But the bottom line is Shakur Stevenson. Everybody considers it like a foregone conclusion he's going to beat Oscar Valdez. Is it a foregone conclusion?
I don't think so. I think people are selling Oscar Valdez short based off of his last performance against the Brazilian fighter. That many people will say that he got a gift. You know, I give him the benefit of the doubt that he had an off night stylistically. I mean, it was almost like that mental letdown from the tremendous performance against Brichelt. And then you fight a guy that's pretty unknown, and the guy was just, you know, he was very slick.
Robson Canseco, of course, the undefeated then Brazilian 2016 Olympic gold medalist.
Yeah, you know, stylistically, you know, it wasn't good for him. But I'm not going to say Oscar Valdez can't fight a pure boxer, because Valdez is a good boxer himself. I mean, he's a former Olympian also, you know, and a lot of people are really being dismissive. Shakur Stevenson has everything that you would want. You know, he is growing before our eyes. He seems to have that killer instinct. The way he dispatched Jamal Herring, he's physically going to be a bigger man that night. But people are selling Oscar Valdez short. You know, I think Valdez has more than a chance to pull off a big upset, because he's a champion too, and he's undefeated. You know, and he's got that Olympic background, and I really believe that he feels a little bit disrespected. You know, he's got a little chip on his shoulder, especially when he had that PD issue, you know, that people are going to always have that cloud over his head.
Well, you know, so, I'll tell you what, I buy my meat at a place called Tepa in South San Francisco. It's a Mexican meat market. I tested positive last week for anabolic steroids.
I sense a little bit of sarcasm.
Me and Canelo. But Shakur and Oscar, it's April 30th, of course.
Oh, but check it out. What? But check it out. Shakur Stevenson is now, what I saw, he is now under the nutrition tutelage of Victor Conti.
I know you're snickering there, because Victor Conti, he actually fixed the 2000 Olympics. Of course, he was banned from sports, went to jail, all that kind of good stuff. But he's come back, he's done his thing, and some of the snack products that he's put together are really, really good products.
Right. No, I remember he was a sponsor on the show and stuff. But I'm just ironic, you know, because a lot of people, if you look at any video on social media with Valdez, all the comments, the trolls are just putting these needle emojis, these pill emojis. But then as you scroll down, you see Shakur Stevenson, you know, he's sponsored by Snack. And if, you know, when you think of PEDs, if Victor Conti doesn't come into your mind at some point, then, you know, you're being a little disingenuous. So
he told me when he watched Marion Jones, I think, win the mile in the Olympics, and he realized that, you know, it was his drugs that were doing this. And when Shane Mosley beat Oscar De La Hoya in that fight at 154, he realized it was, here's what he told me, because I realized it was my SHIT that was doing this. You know, because Shane came to him before the fight, says, you know, I'm fighting a bigger guy, I need an advantage. That's basically what Shane said. And, of course, Shane admitted that in a deposition you can watch on YouTube if you want.
And Barry Bonds. You know, I mean, Victor Conte, is, you know, one of the most influential men in the history of sports.
Barry Bonds has got some big stones. Unfortunately, they're not below his waist. I'm serious. He's got testicular, what do they call it? Testicular shrinkage or something like that. In other words, he's got the nads of a chihuahua.
Ouch.
Well, I mean, come on, man. His girlfriend said that in court. Imagine me reading that in the newspaper. I'm reading this. Oh, man. Your ex-girlfriend. Yeah, he goes, his little things, they shrunk up. They were real small. Oh. And saying that in court. Remember when his trainer did go to jail.
No, he did. He took the bullet.
It's been like a year and a half in the joint. You know, Barry gave him a lot of money. I imagine he got a lot of money for that one.
Yes, Anderson. I can't remember his first name. Exactly. Yeah.
Was it Tim? No, not anyway. But the bottom line is he was notorious around here. Of course, you know, the Balco thing. Me and Victor were tight until David Rodriguez. I bought this heavyweight boxer out here from Texas, David Rodriguez. And he and Victor got together, and then me and Victor just didn't talk anymore. I don't know what went south on that. But he and I go back all the way to Tower of Power.
That's right. He's a musician background.
He was an amazing bass player. He was an amazing bass player. You got to be a weird dude to play the bass because that's like a different world, you know. But yeah, he was an amazing bass player. No doubt about that. Okay, let's talk about predictions for tonight. Dillian White, are we in another Slim and Nunn type of fight here?
I want to say yes. You know, if all things are even, I mean, I've said it, you know, a couple of years ago, the only person that beats Tyson Fury is Tyson Fury. You know, you're dealing with someone that you just don't know, you know, when you have mental health issues, you know. But Dillian White should have only a puncher's chance because we've seen Tyson Fury hit the deck before, but Tyson Fury should light him up within 7 or 8 rounds.
The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's 2PhD, only on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Sox, say hello to the family. We'll talk soon.
I certainly will, brother.
More boxing after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Veev TV. In a special way, I wish I may, I wish I
might make you my all-star shine. Do you love driving, but you don't love your car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. It's easy to refinance your car payment. Just call today to get your no-obligation quote and find out how much you can save. To qualify for a lower car payment, your car should be less than 10 years old, have less than 125,000 miles, and you've made at least 6 on-time payments. Call Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your rate and your payment by refinancing. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. Call today and see how much you can save. 800-871-9417. 800-871-9417. 800-871-9417. That's 800-871-9417. Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
Right now, sports betting is the fastest growing industry in the world. To consistently cash tickets at the sports books, it's best to be armed with the right plays from the best sports bettors in the business. That's what you'll get at AgainstTheNumber.com. At AgainstTheNumber.com, you'll get specialists with decades of experience betting multiple sports at a high level and many sports-specific packages from the NFL to college basketball to cricket to soccer to the European Tour that gives you a consistent edge on the sportsbook. For a highly skilled, reasonably priced team of premium sports handicappers focused on one thing and one thing only, beating the books at their own game. Visit AgainstTheNumber.com.
That's AgainstTheNumber.com.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
Okay, it's not bragging when you're telling the truth. At least that's what my mother told me. It turned out she stole that from Muhammad Ali. Straight up, my mother was a plagiarist. Among other things, she was a hell of a motorist, but she was a plagiarist, I guess, to an extent. Alexis Arguello, we've turned 71 this week. Of course, April 19th was his birthday. Quite a dude, I mean, to be around, no doubt about that. A champion, of course, at 126, 130, 135 pounds. Could not make the cut at 140, was just too small. Of course, 77-8 as a professional, stopped four times, 62 KOs. Of course, the two losses to Pryor, the first and the second fight to Pryor. Of course, the first fight marred by controversy when, Alexis felt he was cheated. I think he was cheated. I think the fact that Panama Lewis, the infamous Panama Lewis, may he not rest in peace. Of course, he was in Pryor's corner that night, and what he did was he wrapped Pryor's hands before the fight with plaster of Paris. You know what plaster of Paris is? That's the stuff they wrap around your hands, and when you spray it with water, it turns hard and turns into a cast. Well, that's what Panama Lewis put on Aaron Pryor's hands. I kid you not. He wrapped some regular wrap, little bit regular gauze around the hand. Then he went with the plaster of Paris. Then he overwrapped that with some more gauze. So when the athletic commission came and looked at his hands, they tapped it like that. They said, okay, it's cool. And then they left. And then Panama sprayed it up with water. And then 45 minutes later, Pryor had two casts. I mean, think about this. Plaster of Paris, C-A-S-T-S, casts in his hands. Those were his hands. So later on, the very next day, just to jump real quick, a friend of mine saw him, of course, at a press conference, and his hands were all swollen. His knuckles were deformed and this and that. Well, your knuckles don't get deformed in a professional boxing match. That's why you have the gloves on. That's why you have your hand wraps, this and that. But Pryor, they weren't taking any chances that night. Of course, no chances. We'll talk about, I think it was August 1989. They were not taking any chances. Panama Lewis was not going to lose that fight. They took the padding out of the gloves. That's why the gloves disappeared in the ring. If you watch that fight, the gloves come off Pryor's hands and then they disappear. Panama Lewis gets them to the back. Somebody was asking for the gloves. I think Bill Miller, of course, Arguello's agent, was asking for the gloves afterwards. The gloves were nowhere to be found. What reason being? They were tampered with. That and his hand wrap. So put those two things together, and what happened was it broke Alexis Arguello down mentally, because at the end of the day, he had so much confidence in himself as a man and as a boxer, as a champion, that he didn't think his will could be broken. So when Aaron Pryor broke his will the way in the manner in which he did in that 14th round, of course, the magic bottle coming off the stool with the magic bottle, and I think that in that magic bottle there was, something going on there. I mean, come on, Pryor got off the stool, was like almost deranged in some type of trance, okay? So Panama Lewis cheated Alexis Arguello that night. Alexis never recovered. They had the second fight. I think Alexis was knocked down in the first round. I was sitting there at Outdoor Arena in Caesars Palace watching that fight almost in tears because I knew the explosive thin man, El Flaco Explosivo, was no more. I mean, he just wasn't. He was a broken man. And from that point forward, after the first prior fight in 1982, he got into cocaine heavily. I mean, heavily. And, of course, that led to his almost killing himself in 1999. Remember, I went down there to Managua, Nicaragua, after he appeared on the show. Actually, his wife appeared on the show first, and I had a translator going on, and she was telling me that Alexis was smoking this white stuff out of a Coca-Cola can. She was explaining this to me in Spanish and going through an interpreter, and Arguello grabbed the phone and said, Pedro, it's Alexis. I said, yeah, what's up? He goes, I want to die. I don't want to live no more. I said, whoa. Of course, that's when I went to WBC president, then the founder of the WBC, the president, Jose Suleiman, and he gave me $40,000. And he said, go down and rescue Alexis Arguello. And I said, okay, he goes, take him to rehab. Get him in rehab. Pedro, I want you to get him in rehab. Please, please. He'll listen to you. Go down there. So I went down to Nicaragua, spent like 9 days there. He didn't want to listen to me. Arguello said he wasn't a junkie or anything like that. So, but he was. He was buying crack. I mean, there were times when we were apart when I was down there for 9 days. There were times when we were apart, and I would see his car, because I had a car too, and I would see his car over there in the area where the crack dealers were. So he didn't need to be down there unless he was hanging around with some scoundrels, okay? So Alexis had a problem. This was 1999. We had this big party at his house. It wasn't a party. It was like a confrontation, but it was disguised as a going-away party for me. I was leaving. So they had friends over there, and like we were dancing. And so we confronted him on the coat. You know, we confronted him on the crack. We said, you know, you're hooked. You need to go to rehab. This and he said, I'm not a junkie. I'm not sticking nothing in my arm. I'm not going. Of course, then that was in September of 1999. Come New Year's Eve 2000, he got into a car accident, and the Nicaraguan government said to him, listen, pal, either you go to rehab, like Pedro said, or you go to jail. What's it going to be? And he went to rehab, of course. Then he told me later at the Boxing Hall of Fame, the International Boxing Hall of Fame there in Kansas City, New York, you saved my life. And I thought that was, you know, that was nobody's. I mean, I was a cop. I did some heroic things, this and that. But when Alexis told you that, and he told you that in front of people, in front of other members of the media, that was something I think that I will never forget. Okay. The fact that we talked 3 weeks before he died, he seemed to be in good spirits. And his death, of course, is very controversial. Some people say he was shot through the front door. It was like he looked through the peephole in the door and somebody shot him. That's the way it went down, according to one person. I have not seen the official police reports. For some reason, I can't get a hold of them. I've tried. I'm being a former cop, private investigator here in California. I tried to get information from the Nicaraguan government. They ain't giving up nothing. I mean, it's like some big secret, like the Kennedy assassination down there in Managua. So they aren't giving him nothing. But I've been told he was shot through the door. Other people say he shot himself, but he was shot in the chest. He wasn't shot in the head. And then somebody said to me, well, that sort of fits Alexis's personality and his ego and his and that kind of stuff. Because he wouldn't shoot himself. He wanted to look good. He would want to look good in his casket. Because that was Arguello. Arguello was a big egomaniac, no doubt about that. But may he rest in peace. Of course, I think it was 2009. July the 1st, when he either got shot or shot himself. I'm leaning towards him being shot now. It was a 50-50 thing for me before. And the more and more I learn, the more I feel about it. And I look into it, I think that he was killed. I'm thinking now it's like the 75%, 75-25. 25 that he killed himself, 75 that he was killed. Because when we talked 3 weeks before his death, he was talking about me coming down to Managua, Nicaragua. And he brought up some stripper. Check this out, Daniel. We had a stripper down in Managua. We had this. When you have business meetings in foreign countries, they have them in strip clubs. They do. I mean, it's like blows me away. I'm like, yeah, okay. But they have these meetings in strip clubs. So we had this big meeting with these printers and all this kind of stuff. We're in the strip club, and the stripper came out, and she took a cigarette, and she put a cigarette in a place where the sun doesn't shine, and she blew smoke out her mouth. And I was trying to figure it out. She was up there for a while. So she had one of the best acts I've ever seen in my life. Imagine that. You stick a cigarette in one appendage and you blow smoke out another. Okay, so that, still trying to figure out what was going on there. Anyway, Alexis took me to this strip club where they were doing a business deal. But Alexis Arguello, may he rest in peace, of course. Sit, man, you can't say enough about the fact that he was a credible gentleman, but he was also a bad alcoholic. I mean, we had some issues with him where I had to put him in check. We were in Canastota, had to put him in check. We were in L.A., had to put him in check. Because he had, you know, he could drink and overly friendly. Oh, Pedro, she doesn't like me. Man, shut up. You're embarrassing me. So, you know, there were times when his alcohol abuse sort of got out of hand. Of course, then after he went clean, when it went clean New Year's Eve 2000, allegedly he didn't do anything as far as booze and or drugs after that point. But he was hooked on cigarettes. I mean, that was his thing. He smoked every day of his life as a professional fighter. When I tell people that, they laugh at me. I say, no, he smoked a pack a day. A pack a day of his entire life, at least. And he did it as a professional fighter. Of course, a world champion, 126, 130, and 135. Think about that. The guy smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. So did Bob Foster. Bob Foster smoked cigarettes. Bob Foster, considered by some the greatest light heavyweight of all time. Of course, he lost big fights in heavyweight contests to Joe Frazier, to George Foreman, I believe, and Muhammad Ali. But Bob Foster used to tell me, I used to drink a beer every night. One, maybe two. Two beers every night when he was in training camp. That was part. Yeah, they used to do that to keep my weight on. No. They didn't do that to keep your weight on, Bob. They did that because you want to get a little buzz after training. That's what that was all about. But the bottom line is everybody's got their own little issues, I think, as far as substance abuse is concerned. I mean, I'm no saint. But at the end of the day, Alexis Arguello had a lot of demons. But did the demons kill him? Well, I don't think it was suicide. I really think it was murder, and that probably will never ever be totally solved as to what happened, unless somebody was to come out like and admit on their deathbed that they shot him or something like that. But outside of that, he was the mayor of Managua, Nicaragua. He was going to become president. He told me I should come down there to Nicaragua. He would get me a job. We would do this. We would do that. We would do this. We would do that. The conversation we had 3 weeks before his death was one of the most animated conversations I ever had with him. I mean, when I heard that he was dead, I didn't believe it. It was like when they said it was suicide, come on, you got to be kidding me. I was just talking to this guy. But then again, I thought about it. You know, he's so fragile emotionally. He was a fragile guy. As I said, he was broken after the first prior fight. He was broken. He couldn't believe in himself anymore. That's why he went to drugs. That's why he was drinking even more than he was before. Of course, he eventually went and ended up very clean. But for 9 years, he was clean after that 2000 accident, that January 1st, 2000 accident. Of course, planet, what do they call that, generation, whatever that X was. But the bottom line is he cleaned himself up, and from that point forward, he was definitely a positive force as far as the Nicaragua was concerned. Now, he would have became president, and there was no doubt about it. I mean, he was the most popular guy. And when I went shopping with him, we'd go shopping in different shopping markets and places like that. You go shopping with him. I mean, people didn't flock to him and this and that, but they sort of looked at him the way they looked at Muhammad Ali when we went around the world. It's like, whoa, that's Alexis Arguello. Whoa, that's Alexis Arguello. Of course, Nicaraguans consider him the number one athlete probably in the history of their country. I mean, without a doubt. You've got guys now fighting, boxers now fighting out of Nicaragua, but nobody's quite like the great Alexis Arguello. Now, back to the heavyweight championship fight going to take place in less than a couple hours. Of course, Dillian White. A young man that is going to bring it for as long as it lasts. I think he's going to try, but trying is not enough. Okay, this is Tyson Fury. This is the undefeated Tyson Fury. So you heard Emmanuel Stewart talk a little bit earlier in the show. Of course, the great gold father from the Kronk gym, my mentor. May he rest in peace, man. That you know, of all the deaths I've had to deal with in boxing, and I'm an old man, so I've seen a lot, okay? But that Emmanuel Stewart death, that was probably one of the hardest I ever had to deal with. It just was. I mean, you know, we talked. I knew he was sick. I knew he was real sick. Then I knew he was deadly sick, fatally sick, and he was going to die. And that was really rough. And, you know, he sent me a tweet like a couple days before he died. I said to him, "Are you going to call me?" He says, "I can't talk. It's real rough. I can't talk right now. It's real rough." And, of course, 3 days later, he died. I think he died in Chicago, Illinois. But the bottom line is he was the original Kronk gold father from Detroit. We had a good, check this out. The gold father, he had a gold Cadillac, a 1970 Cadillac with fins on the back. I mean, we're talking like a pimp, superfly type of car. And guess what? We're driving around Detroit in it. So, you know, just the things that we did with Emmanuel were totally off this world. Of course, and he's the one that introduced me to the great Aretha Franklin. That was amazing. I mean, he said to me, "Pedro, you're going to be introducing somebody famous tonight." And I'm thinking, yeah, some boxer or some kind of stuff, right? And he goes, no, you're going to be introducing somebody famous tonight. And he goes, I could go, "How famous?" He goes, "Think Grammy Award winner." I didn't do it. I saw some The Temptations, The Four Tops, somebody like that. No. It was Aretha Franklin. So I go into, this is the Palace in Auburn Hills. We're doing an event there. And I said to her, "Ma'am, I'm going to introduce you to sing the national anthem." So we shook her hands, shook my hands, this and that. And it was Pedro, blah, 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 and Aretha. She called me Aretha. I called her Miss Franklin. Call me Aretha. Anyway, the second time I did a gig with her was at the Cobo Hall. They call it Joe Louis Arena. That's in downtown Detroit. And she obviously knew who I was from the first event. And she said, "Pedro, how are you? I mean, Pedro going to do me up tonight?" And, you know, so, oh, man, this is Aretha Franklin saying this kind of stuff. So, yeah, my time in Detroit, of course, I really, really treasure the times I spent in Detroit, without a doubt, the times I spent at the Motown Museum. Of course, bringing all that weed to the funeral directors next door, to the Motown Museum, for all that Motown gossip they used to tell me. And I don't know if half of it was BS or not, but the weed was good, stories were good, without a doubt. I mean, we had a good time, and I miss the folks in Detroit. Of course, I really miss Emmanuel Stewart. May he rest in peace. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, minutes away from the World Heavyweight Championship, Tyson Fury and Dillian White. Dillian White has two chances, slim and none. And guess what, Daniel? Slim just left town.
Are you looking to start a business? From side hustles to major business opportunity? Franchise 123 connects franchise buyers with sellers. And we have over 4,000 franchises for you to choose from. In one simple 30-second call, our live agents will sign you up to the platform. This is not a hard sales call either. We give you free access to our database. Yes, free access. No cost. We are the largest online franchise database in the world. You can find 95% of all businesses. Buying a franchise doesn't have to be complicated. We make it easy. And right now, some have no startup fees. You can turn your special skill into a franchise business or go full scale with all the top franchise businesses in the world. Sign up with Franchise 123 now and get your free guide to franchise success now. Call 800-433-0539, 800-433-0539, or text Franchise 123 to 63566. Text Franchise 123 to 63566.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. That's 800-811-7913.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968.
Who is the next Canelo Alvarez? I think it's going to be David Benavidez as far as the pound-for-pound game is concerned. But Jaime Munguia, of course, the undefeated lad out of Tijuana, Mexico, trained by Eric Morales, El Terrible. And speaking of El Terrible, if you're into Spanish and you want podcasts, he's got the best podcast going. I mean, he's really got it going on as far as the top Mexican stars are concerned. He talks with Julio Cesar Chavez. He talks about his cocaine issues. Eric is pretty damn good interviewer. I kid you not. Eric El Terrible Morales, of course, the former world champion, 122, 126, and 130. Of course, spending time with him down in Tijuana back when I was doing fights, man. Those were some wonderful days down there in TJ. We go into Tijuana 2 days before. We'd have a big press conference. Of course, Mil Máscara showed up one time, the wrestler wearing all that, the man of 1,000 masks, he showed up one time. So you never knew how fights were going to go in Tijuana. But when Eric fought, you knew one thing. They are always sold out, no doubt about that. Of course, it looks like Jaime Munguia, of course, the aforementioned undefeated Mexican middleweight junior middleweight out of Tijuana, Mexico, is going to take on Danny Jacobs out of Brooklyn, New York. Now, Danny's a good fighter, but Danny's like a broken guy. He's old. He's slow. He's like 40 years old, 45 years old, 50 years old. He looks like he's 75 years old. He's old. He's archaic. He lost down the stretch to that European guy, the British champion, about 3 or 4, maybe 5 weeks ago. And the fact that he lost the last 5 or 6 rounds against that guy and looked old, he's not going to have a chance against Munguia. He's got 2 chances, slim and none, and Slim just left town. Of course, Munguia will be training up there in Big Bear, California. Now, Munguia wants Charlo. Of course, Charlo, the 160-pound champion, Jamaal Charlo, of course, the undefeated lad coming to us out of Houston, Texas, who's like 32-0, 22 KOs, of course. He's going to defend his WBC middleweight title against my producer, Daniel, when Daniel gets down to 160. I mean, that's basically who he's fighting these days, my producer and me. He's not really fighting anybody of note. And that's going to be on his tombstone, I think, the fact that you haven't fought anybody. Like Canelo told Demetrius Andrade, you got belts, but who have you fought? I think the same thing could be said of Jermell Charlo. You've got a belt, but who have you fought? Yet he hasn't fought anybody. But the bottom line is he keeps talking about it. Talk, talk, talk. Talk is cheap. You need to walk the walk and stop talking the talk. Straight up, you've been listening to Ring Talk and viewing Ring Talk Live worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we're going to be live from the Sports Byline Studios Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. It's 2 p.m. Eastern time. Live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 217, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. iTunes, Stitcher.com. I keep going and going. But the bottom line is I've got a very great new producer. His name is Daniel. He's got some kids at home. He's a wonderful father. Scott Cuddy's down there in Colorado kicking. He's got four types of weed, so he's a happy guy, no doubt about that. Until next week, until tomorrow, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.